Since we are going verse by verse through the Gospel of Matthew, we will get to chapters of Jesus on the cross and Jesus alive, and we will do so before next Easter Sunday. Therefore, before this Sunday, I thought I would wait about the end of the Gospels and not do that right now, and we'll get to it sometime this summer, and do a topical study of life. Life in the Bible. Jesus proved he has power over death, and he is the only one that has power over death. All 27 New Testament books have the word life in it. There are two words for life. We actually know both of them. One is bios. We get biology from it. Sometimes it is used in the Bible of making money, but we do that too. We talk about making a living. So we have bios. Only 11 times is the other word used. At first we might think we don't know it, but we do. Zoe. Zoe can be a lady's name, but Zoe comes to the idea of a zoo or zoology that's also about life. Jesus himself is eternal life from death. No other way. No other source of power over death. He made repeated claims that he would give life to us. The one that we will look at first is in John chapter 10. Please turn to John chapter 10. He will claim to give life for us in John chapter 10, and we will read verse 10. He comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Thieves and robbers came before him. We shouldn't interpret thieves and robbers here as Satan. In this context, the thieves and robbers are other people. They were false people that said they are the Savior. They were false prophets that said they speak for God. They were human liars. If there is a satanic reference here, it is to the wolf. Only one wolf. The wolf wants to kill. His picture is of a sheepfold, and Jesus is the shepherd. He is also the door. He can do this. He does kind of both illustrations. You know, he's the shepherd, but he's also the door to get into the flock. He, no doubt, is continuing Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. In Psalm 23, the original is Yahweh, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, the Lord is my shepherd. And when Jesus is saying he basically is the shepherd, he is saying he is God. And we'll show later on in chapter 10, he is the shepherd, he is the God. The thieves are false human speakers. The wolf is Satan. In the John 10 original setting, Jesus was talking to Jewish listeners. So the first reference to a group of sheep, they are the Jewish listeners. Now he foreknows they have a potential for faith, so he can call them his flock even before they come. But he knows they will become believers. So, shall we say, flock number one are the Jewish listeners. But verse 16, which we'll now read, talk about another group of sheep. So, the original group were the Jewish listeners. Now, verse 16, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. So he's got one group of sheep. I think of the word batch. Here they are over here. He foreknows he will be believers. And they were the Jewish listeners. Everyone who was ever known to believe will be told. They are foreknown that they would believe. If they are told, they will believe. Also, there is another group of non-Jewish people. They're not in the original group that he was talking to, but he's talking about them. He foreknows another group of sheep, which are ethna, the nations, the ethnics, still has been traditionally translated as the Gentiles. Here he's talking about sheep coming together. Paul says the same thing in Ephesians 2. He doesn't use so much the sheep illustration, but he does have about a door, about access to God. Ephesians 2:13, those who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. He himself is our peace. The far off people would be the non-Jews or the Gentiles, but they were brought near to God. Jesus is the way of peace. And it says in Ephesians 2:18, continuing, through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. Got all the Trinity there in that, but we have access. So John 10 is a door. Ephesians 2 is access. That's like a door. Jesus is the only shepherd that can save us from these wolves. He's the only one that we can come to when he keeps us safe from eternal danger. Some Jewish people will believe. Some Gentiles will believe. They will be merged together in what is called the church. 1 Peter 5 calls him the chief shepherd. A Latin word for shepherd is pastor, so all pastors and elders are kind of like shepherds taking care of others, but they are not chief. He alone is the chief shepherd. He alone gives us life. So, Jesus, the chief shepherd, will also die for his sheep. And he says this in verses 11 and 15, which we want to read. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Verse 15, another verse that he's going to die for the sheep. Even as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. We have lots of life in here. And we have had bios like biology. We've had zoe like zoology. I don't know why they don't translate this more literally in verses 11 and 15. It's a different word altogether. And we would understand it, although maybe it's not the word for life. He lays down his psyche. That's the word. He lays down his soul for the sheep. The Bible does stress physical death. We understand that better. Been to the hospital many times when someone is passing, and it's a sad thing. We understand Jesus bleeding on the cross. We understand being stabbed in the side. We understand his hands and his feet. We understand it. But it does say that he gave his soul unto death also. That's a little more mysterious, to give his soul unto death. Somehow all the sins of all the world and the punishment for all eternity was passed over to his account. And he paid for it in a few hours. So you have eternity in punishment times billions and billions of people, eternal punishment, and somehow the equivalent, not the same time span, somehow the equivalent was all suffered by Jesus in a few hours. I believe he was separated from God. That is spiritual death. Quoting Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? So somehow Jesus had separation from God. He had spiritual death, and he had the equivalent of eternity in punishment times billions of people. He was on the cross for 6 hours. It was dark for three. That's Mark 15 gives us 6 hours on the cross. And then Mark 15, Matthew 27, Luke 23 talk about it being dark for the 3 hours, which is probably God was separated from him. And it was the equivalent in some mysterious way of his soul paying for billions and billions of people, the equivalent of eternal punishment in a few hours. So Jesus died, and here it is, his psyche, his soul, died for us. He will give us life when we trust in him. And we won't read any more verses, but like verse 28, I give them eternal life, and nobody can snatch them. He's still giving the sheep illustration. Nobody can snatch, nobody can take them away. So Jesus is the source of life for all who trust in him. Now, in order not to have too long of a sermon, I am going to read some more quotes where Jesus says life comes from him. And I will read them. You can look them all up later. But John 6:35, I am the bread of life. John 11:25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 17:3, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way of life. This is eternal life, to know me. People die without food. And in Bible times, they ate more bread than anything else. Not only bread, but they ate more bread than anything else. Jesus is the source of life. All without him are already spiritually hungry. And if they remain without him, all who remain without him will eventually perish. I am the resurrection. That original word means wake up and stand up. Anastasia. I am the way to wake up after death. I am the way to stand up after death. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the road to eternal life. We get Exodus from it, the way out. But Jesus is saying, I am the way. I am the path. I am the road to go to heaven, to trust in him. Eternal life is knowing God in Jesus whom you have sent. There are about 150 verses in the Bible, and we're not going to read them all, about believing, which means to trust, have confidence. But today we will stress that confidence, trusting God, is a choice. And will you turn with me to Deuteronomy 30, where it stresses choose life or death. That's Deuteronomy 30. That will be Moses in Deuteronomy 30. It will be verse 19. But before we read it together, I would like to say that Joshua said the same thing. Joshua was listening when Moses gave Deuteronomy 30. And at the close of the book of Joshua, he gives them a choice. Joshua 24:15. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Then he goes on to talk about their background, their ancestral heritage, that before Abraham served God, there were people. people all around him back in Mesopotamia, we'd say Iraq, they were serving idols. He also talks about the Amorites that the Joshua's people had just defeated. So choose whom you will serve. And then Joshua says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So Joshua gives a choice. We will serve the Lord. We will worship the non-gods, the idols. Joshua had already heard Moses. Moses said the same thing 40 years earlier. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. The choice. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants. So here's life, trusting in Jesus as Savior. Here's death, no interest in what he did on the cross. Here's blessing, being uplifted and getting good things from God. Here is a curse. So I'd have to look it up. I think I remember it as R, which I think is funny. Sounds like you're going to get bit. Here is a curse, a blessing or curse. Make your choice. We can glance a little bit before this in Deuteronomy 30. And verse 3 talked about a captivity already in the days of Moses. Later on, the 10 northern tribes will be dragged off by the Assyrians, the 2 southern tribes will be dragged off by the Babylonians. There'll be 70 years in what we now call Iraq again. But they will come back because God is merciful and gracious. In verse 6, he tells to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. And Jesus said that's the greatest commandment. We're not saved by doing good works. We're saved by faith, but the greatest commandment is to love God and love him more than anything else. We have verse 10 again, the close of it, turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and soul. And the following says, this isn't hard. The following paragraph, it's not that hard. It's not like you have to go all the way up to heaven to the stars to get an answer. You don't have to sail across the sea. That's verse 13. You don't have to sail across the sea to get an answer. That it is near you. And he's saying, I have set before you today life and being cared for and death and adversity. So we have the same thing. It's not like we have to sail the seas to get salvation. We don't have to fly up to heaven to get a message. The message is in your heart and mind. Paul quoted Deuteronomy 30 and Romans 10. We don't have to go far. It's in our heart and mind. With our heart, we believe in salvation. There's Romans 10. We trust in what he has done. And we confess that Jesus is Lord. I will say this is not talking about a public confession. It's not like people get saved when they come in front of a bunch of people and talk about it. Because in Romans chapter 10, when it talks about confessing Jesus as Lord, it says whoever will call on the name of the Lord. So the confession is praying to God. Praying to God that Jesus is the Savior, and confessing to God that we want him to forgive our sins. So it's not talking about you have to publicly talk and stand up for a bunch of people to be saved. The confession is up to God in heaven. We pray to God above in trust in Jesus as Savior. Deuteronomy 30, it's a personal choice. He is the bread of life, but we have to take in the bread of life. He is the resurrection, but we have to trust in him. He is the way to heaven, but we kind of have to get on that way to heaven, get on that road, and not the wider way to destruction that many people reject Jesus as Savior. Each person makes that decision. Jesus brings eternal life. after we trust in Him, we have eternal life, and then we have Jesus within all the time. And now we will look at our last verse today. Jesus is living within believers all the time. It's Philippians 1:21. So please come to the little letter of Philippians that Paul wrote. At Philippians 1:21. Me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What in the world would that mean? Dying is better. Dying in the sense of being with the Lord Jesus Christ is better than life on earth. And he says that right here in this context. It will be verse 23. You know, depart, be with Christ, which is better. But I would like to stress today, to live is Christ. When we trust in Jesus as Savior, He comes inside of the believer, and He's always around the believer. Life starts by trusting in Jesus, but life continues, and He's always present. The Lord Jesus Christ is always present in and around. We're not having baptism today, but that's the picture of water baptism. The picture of water baptism is going down and being surrounded by the water. Well, when we trust in Jesus as Savior, the Spirit of Christ surrounds us everywhere we go. For me to live is Christ. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. We get eternal life by trusting in Jesus. We have eternal life all the way through, and it's kind of like Jesus is around us everywhere we go. Jesus rose on the first Easter. He is the source of life. He is the only one that could defeat death. When we trust in Him as Savior, Jesus lives within us. That is the quantity of life, forever and ever and ever and ever. It's also the quality of life. Jesus gives us a kind of life within us. He gave up His body and soul. Don't understand His full suffering. He gave up His body and soul to give us life. All who trust in Him as Savior have life, already have unending life, but have a quality of life. Jesus is present everywhere we go, and that will give us the strength to try, the strength to do things. Belief brings life, but thereafter that, there is the level of rewards. More crowns, lesser crowns. In the kingdom, you rule 10 cities, you rule 5. So, more crowns, lesser crowns, higher positions in heaven, lower positions in heaven. All believers get there. And then it says that the resurrection body is like the stars. One star differs from another star in glory, so also is the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:41 and 42. All believers already have eternal life. But like Paul, for me to live is Christ is the way we ought to go. Already have eternal life believing, but can have greater rewards when, like Paul, for me to live is Christ. When the musician